Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, Inc., member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor. 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana. Hello, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes, the post-spring break edition. I hope you enjoy Tom Bunger. He was back-to-back as we were out of town last week, as much of the town was on spring break. But glad to be back. Going to have a good show today. Long-term care and the long-term care epidemic and how to pay for it. First, we'll be joined by Kathleen Weber. Kathleen is the Alzheimer's expert that I know. I always go to her when I have questions about families that are dealing with this. And then later on, we'll talk about how to pay for it. And then some of the myths about Medicare. Hey, let's talk about news of the week first. The Fed policies have cost savers a ton. The Federal Reserve's effort to stimulate the U.S. economy after the financial crisis that ended up costing savers nearly $500 billion, according to a recent survey, and this comes from CNBC. Since the central bank dropped the interest rates to near zero at the end of 2008, savers have labored under the bank accounts and money market funds that have yielded close to zero. But on the other hand, the Fed's quantitative easing efforts have boosted asset prices and may have a lot to do with stock valuations. Did we see this from Reuters? Oil jumped about 5% on Thursday, the biggest daily gain in a month, as airstrikes in Yemen by the Saudi Arabia and the Gulf Arab allies sparked fears that escalation in the Middle East could disrupt world crude prices. Brent oil neared $60 a barrel, biggest day since February of 2015. I have been off a week. And U.S. Texas Intermediate busted through $50. Well, rents are finally starting to force millennials to think about buying a house. Americans in their 30s and early 30s are getting a nudge towards home ownership decades after sales peaked during the housing bubble. And it's not their nagging parents telling them they need to buy a house. It's actually rents. They've risen so much that buying is making more sense than renting. But purchases by younger buyers are likely to go slowly as they work through hurdles like student debt and lack of down payments. And obviously, the later family formations will play into that as well. But that's kind of what happens. You know, rents will go up, home ownership will then increase, and then home ownership will increase, and rents go down and kind of flop back and forth. But it does move very, very slowly. Did you see this? The frugal man who left an $8 million estate. I thought this was good. And Doug Hughes will be with me today. And Doug's one of the most frugal people that I know. So he'll really enjoy this story. Ronald Reed may have spent years pumping gas, but he was even more pumping up his portfolio. Mr. Reed, a longtime resident of Brattleboro, Vermont, died in June at the age of 92. His friends were shocked when they learned his estate was valued at almost $8 million. Long widowed, he'd left most of his money to a local hospital and library. So how did he manage to pull it off? Besides being a pretty good stock picker, he displayed remarkable frugality and patience, which gave him many years of compounded growth. He lived modestly, working as a maintenance worker and janitor at the JCPenney store after a long stint at a service station that was owned in part by his brother. Those who knew him talked about at times how he used safety pins to hold his coat together and sometimes parked his car way, way far away to avoid having to pay parking fees or parking meters. When he died, Mr. Reed left behind a 5-inch thick stack of stock certificates and a safe deposit box. He owned at least 95 stocks at the time of his death, many of which he had held for years and years, if not decades. They were spread across a variety of sectors, including railroads, utility companies, banks, healthcare, telecom, consumer products. He avoided technology stocks. Friends say that he only invested in things he understood, and when he received dividend checks, he plowed it right back into more shares. He didn't always hit home runs. His portfolio also had Lehman Brothers Holdings, of course, that went bankrupt back in 2008. And unwinding Mr. Reed's holdings in his estate, they've processed over 328 different stock certificates from, like I said, over 95 different companies. And that's pretty cool. You know, Mr. Reed there established himself as a multimillionaire, but he sure doesn't sound like he enjoyed it very much. And finally, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, the book that I've written along with Doug Hughes, again, that will be here shortly, a resource for those over 50, is now on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com, just type in Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, and pow, there it is, $16.95. Ebook is about $3.50. Start buying them. I think I get like $6, but that's not the point. I just want people to buy them so I feel good about this. So I don't want to be the first one to buy one. Although I guess technically I've bought 150 already, but they're at my cost, $10 a piece. So I'm very excited about that. Go over to Amazon and check it out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kathleen Weber, a licensed clinical social worker who helps families through the issues that we all face when we have folks that are, have dementia or Alzheimer's. We're going to talk with her. Later on, we're going to be discussing how to pay for long-term care, and Doug Hughes will be joining me for that discussion. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, we're going to be talking about the long-term care epidemic and how to pay for it. So kicking off the show with me is Kathleen Weber. Kathleen is a licensed clinical social worker who provides consulting services for families experiencing Alzheimer's and dementia. She also operates Better Day Club, a local adult day program for people who have Alzheimer's and dementia. And now joining me on the line live is Kathleen. Hey, Kathleen, long time no talk.
Hey, David, nice to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, as we talk about the long-term care epidemic, how many people are really in front of this thing as far as how many people do you think will have to deal with having a parent, a grandparent, some other loved one, a husband, a wife, that's going to face dementia, Alzheimer's? And it is an epidemic, and it's going to grow more and more, isn't it?
It is an epidemic. So as the baby boomers turn 65, we are looking at sometimes geriatricians call the silver tsunami. And that means that we have more Americans turning 65, actually 10,000 a day are turning 65. And so that's already, we're just at the beginning of that. And so we're really just at the beginning of seeing assisted livings and long-term care and Medicare really feeling the strain from that. And when you add to that that many, many people will develop Alzheimer's disease or dementia, the need for care is really tremendous. And I'm so glad you're doing the show, because that means the need for planning is so important.
You know, and there are so many people that have experienced this personally, but at the same time, a lot of people are experiencing it, Kathleen, they don't even know it. All they think is, well, Mom just keeps repeating herself over and over. She just must be getting old. Or she gets lost occasionally. It's not that big of a deal. I know that a lot of folks will say, maybe I'm going to have to face this someday. And all of a sudden, that day is now. And that's when the shock hits.
It really is. So there are some common misconceptions that I think, for the purposes of your show and what you're talking to folks about, are really important for people to think about. And I'm not going to spend much time on really diagnosing dementia, because that's a different topic. I really want to speak just for a few minutes to something that I see as a very common misconception that many of the families that I meet with have. And that is a common misconception about what Medicare covers.
Mm-hmm.
For people 65 and older, Medicare is so important, and many people think it covers long-term care needs, when it simply does not, David. So Medicare, the words that I like to talk about when people think of Medicare are rehabilitation and restoration. Most Medicare services are related to getting better or restoring a person to their previous level of functioning. So a hip replacement, a joint replacement, medication related to getting better, hospital stays, doctor visits. Medicare is fantastic for these kinds of things. But when it comes to home health and long-term care, folks have to have something Medicare calls a skilled need. So you have to have the need for a skilled nurse, physical, speech, or occupational therapy. And all of those services are provided in the home just for the short term, usually no more than about 3 to 8 weeks. And so that's not long-term care. That's just kind of a Band-Aid to get people back to their previous level of functioning or their rehabilitation potential. That goes the same for nursing home care. You might go to the hospital, go to the nursing home for rehab, but you're not going to be there under Medicare for more than a couple of months, because for every diagnosis under the sun, Medicare says, okay, now when you get to a point when you can do this, we're not going to cover anything else. So the good planning is really important, because almost all long-term care costs are actually out of pocket costs, and some of them can be, of course, covered by long-term care insurance. But what I see is folks coming in and saying, well, we think we're in pretty good shape. You know, we've got $250,000 in the bank. We've got Medicare. We think we can keep mom home until she dies. And then we start crunching numbers, talking about what she really needs. And $250,000 sounds like a lot of money, David.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start paying those bills, it can really go down quickly. So the numbers that I talk to families about are look at your Medicare, look what it's going to cover, think of have the discussions about the quality and type of care you want to have, and then look at the cost and talk with your financial planner about how you're set up and what you need to do. Families can plan to pay for a nursing home in the Bloomington area $5,700 to about $8,000 a month out of pocket. And that's if you need to live there and have that care versus just have some rehab. And the cost of non-medical companion care in our community runs from about $15 an hour to the agencies charge 18 and a quarter an hour up to about 23 an hour for folks who are from an agency who's licensed and bonded. So I tell folks to benchmark at really if you're looking at needing care in the home, $75,000 a year is not too much to budget, and certainly not too much if you're going to be in a nursing facility.
Well, we just read an article from Investment News that said these costs are going up 6.5% per year on average. And Kathleen, most people do want to stay at home, especially if they can. You mentioned Medicare not paying for that. That's one of the myths we're going to talk about later as well. But do you find that most people try to keep their mom, dad at home if they have dementia or Alzheimer's before moving them into some type of a facility?
Oh, absolutely. Families want that. Individuals who experience Alzheimer's and dementia say that they want that. We love our homes. We want to be there. Those are comfortable for us. It's private.
And isn't it true, though, too, for people that are experiencing dementia, that stability and that routine is really important to just their quality of life?
Oh my gosh, routine is the ball game. So when we have a memory challenge, the thing that helps us, I mean, think when your day gets messed up, David. You can't find your car keys, your wallet's not where you usually put it. It can really get your morning off to a rough start. So if you have a memory disorder, that same getting up at the same time every day, being in the same house you've lived in for 25 or 30 or 40 years is really important because it's in your long-term memory. And that's the last thing to erode. So you might not remember what you had for breakfast, but you will remember where your taxes are filed for the last 10 years and things like that. So you can still have some independence. And that's really important. And when families are planning, sometimes they want to swoop in and protect mom and dad a little too much and take over too quickly. And other families say, you know, I don't want to interfere. I want my folks to have their independence. And maybe they don't step in quite soon enough. So finding that balance is a little less scary when you've done good financial planning, and it allows you to think about the quality of life that you want, not just quantity and not just where you're going to be, but how you want to be cared for and what your goals are for the last 10 or 20 years of your life. And those are very important conversations.
Yeah, money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure does make things a lot more comfortable, especially during a time like this. If you were facing this and it hits you right in the face, if you have some resources, it does make things easier. Now, you mentioned $70,000+ for home stay, you know, and that makes sense to me. You have people in there at $15 an hour, 12 hours a day, that's $63,000-$64,000, but you still have the cost of maintaining the home. You still have taxes and insurance and upkeep, mowing the grass, you know, food. So it can get pretty expensive.
Oh, it can get expensive. I hear some folks benchmark somewhere around $125,000 a year for someone who needs care, potentially as much as 24 hours a day, who wants to stay in their own home.
And the other thing I think folks need to just kind of get their hands around, and I had a chance to talk with Congressman Todd Young before he went back to Washington a few weeks ago, and one of the issues was this long-term care, because we were talking about veterans benefits and things like that. And he said, what happens when you have someone staying at home and they run out of money, then what? And I said, then you put them in the car, you cry like a baby, and you drive them to the nursing home and put them on Medicaid, because at that point, that's the only option you have. And it's not fun. He said, really? Medicaid, he didn't know necessarily that
Medicare doesn't cover everything.
Or the Medicaid even doesn't cover home.
Yeah.
And he said, I think it does some. Well, they sent me something that I already knew that for very limited mobility cases does Medicaid. And, of course, to get on Medicaid, you have to be completely broke. Pay for some home health care. But that's the facts. I mean, that's the reality, and that's what we're facing. And I think it really is a long-term care epidemic. People need to plan on how to pay for it, not to be a burden on your children. I can tell you, I'm kind of looking forward to being burdened on my 14-year-old son. I think that's going to be fun. Paybacks.
Is he currently a burden on you?
Paybacks
so you're
are hell.
Payback.
That's all I have to say. Paybacks. You got it, Kathleen. Kathleen, thanks so much. And, of course, folks, if you want to know more about Kathleen and her consulting services, you can always go to betterdaybloomington.com. You can also go to socialworkconsult@gmail.com. That's her direct email. Or just contact me. You guys know how to do that, cfci.us, and I'll put you in touch with her. Well, here's what happens, guys. Whenever I have a client that has a wife or a husband or a mom or a dad that they're like, I don't even know what to do, I tell them to call Kathleen because she's the person that can kind of help make some sense out of a very unsensible or unreasonable situation. So, Kathleen, thank you so much for taking the time. We're going to talk about how to pay for this stuff next.
Well, that's fabulous. When you figure it out, I look forward to hearing about it.
Okay, sounds good. Well,
Thank you. Tune
in for the next 40 minutes.
All right.
All right,
bye-bye.
See you. Bye. We're going to take a break. Doug Hughes just walked in the studio. When we come back, we're going to talk about paying for care, the myth of Medicare. We'll go through that again. Paying for it yourself and how some of these different insurances work. There's some things out there you may not even know exist. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. You know, it is statistically now proven that people grossly underestimate the amount of money they're going to need to pay for health-related expenses in retirement. We are at fault as financial advisors, financial planners, of not doing a very good job. But, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. I mean, even the long-term care companies who were trying to provide insurance are going broke, like Genworth. They didn't know. So how were we supposed to know? Well, that's why we're trying to get on top of this. And the first thing is, as you talk about long-term care and the cost of long-term care, and Doug Hughes is joining me now in the studio, and Kathleen Weber hit on this earlier in the program, the myth of Medicare. You know, Medicare takes care of a lot of stuff for us, and we're grateful to have it if you're a retiree. But it does not pay for long-term care, only for rehab and rehabilitation. You pretty much have to pay for this stuff on your own. So as an example, Doug, if you have a $60,000 nut you have to crack each year for cost of care, and maybe you're getting $25,000 from pension and Social Security, that's another $35,000 you're going to have out of pocket. If you have $500,000 of investments, that's going to run out in about 10 to 14 years, depending on inflation. And I think we have done a poor job in this profession of the readiness of this, of getting people ready for retirement and ready for paying for health care.
You know, I remember my days back at the Wharton School of Finance when we had to do, we're going to talk about discontinuous change later on in the program, but when we had to write all the different financial plans, and one of the plans that was identified as a surprise was the nursing home or an extended stay in a nursing home or a long-term care facility. And I think what we're recognizing more and more, this shouldn't be an inevitable surprise, but it should be part of an overall plan. And the planning for this that financial advisors, in my estimation, need to look at is 10, 20 years out. You don't just come up to it at the end of the day and say, I need to do this.
Well, and I also think, too, now that it's been in our face for quite some time,
yes,
that it's negligence if you don't sit down with someone and at least talk about it and be a little bit forceful in helping them and making them, not making them, but trying to twist their arm a little bit to do some planning. And then document if they don't want to do it. Because I can tell you what, folks, that your kids will be mad at us if you run out of money.
Well, you know, David, there's market risk, there's interest rate risk, there's inflation risk, and then there is this kind of risk, the unknown healthcare cost risk.
Well, it's simple, so, Doug. We're going to buy long-term care insurance, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right. If you can afford it, it'd be the best thing you ever had.
And as Mike Fidler has said to us all along in all the years that I've known him, if your health is good today, there's only two directions it can go, steady or down when you get to a certain age.
Well, and I think when you talk about long-term care insurance, people typically don't buy it. Because of number one, it is expensive, but number two, it's harder and harder to get. And it's like health insurance. The cost will likely go up. It's not like life insurance with a fixed premium payment forever. It's health insurance.
And one thing I think, David, that people tend to miss is the different payment options. You know, a good financial advisor shows you different payment options for life insurance, long-term care, for any part of your insurance. You can buy a 10-pay program at age 50 and be done with it by age 60.
It's a lot of money, trust
me. It's a lot of money, because I think, didn't you have an experience with that?
Yes, I did. Personally, I thought, you know, a company was getting ready to quit doing the 10-pay, and I thought, I'm going to do it. I got myself approved, Misty approved, sent that first premium check in. I thought, gosh, I just don't think I can do this for the next 10 years. It was so much money, so I canceled it. Now, I may look back and think that was the worst decision I ever made, but you know, that's the problem. It's a use it or lose it mentality. Hey, what if I never use it? Well, you hope you don't use it. I don't want to use my house insurance or my fire insurance on my home either.
Right.
But you pay it. And it can be, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year for you and your spouse. But really, folks, we're talking about, you know, that much a month in cost of care.
Exactly.
So it really needs to be considered. But I'll tell you what, it is not easy to get.
It's not easy to get. The actuaries are looking at it. There's health questionnaires. That's what I'm saying. If your health is at a good, steady level today, then this is probably something you need to be having a discussion about with your financial advisor and perhaps even with your family, too.
And then if you can't swallow the structure and the cost, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about some other financial products that have been designed to help you solve that problem. Maybe a little less commitment to a certain degree, and you still have access to some money, and there's going to be something there when you die. I mean, there's some options that we want to discuss when we come back. We're talking about paying for long-term care and the long-term care epidemic here in America. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, Doug, I have a client situation right now that less than 5 years ago, they had about $1.2 million in retirement accounts and other investments, and they're sitting on about $380 right now.
Wow.
And one of the things that they've tried to do is keep the mom at home, and they're having 24-hour supervision. Well, that works out to about $130,000, $140,000, $150,000 a year to have 24-hour care, plus the cost of running the home, another $20,000. So it goes down pretty quick. And of course, when you get in that situation and you're thinking, okay, I have $1.2 million, and you're worried about losing it in the market, you know you're going to lose it through care. So guess what? They went pretty conservative, and they went into more fixed income money markets, thing like that. So not making a lot on the money. Maybe not the best idea, but that was the fear they had. There was an overreaction there because the mom, and this is where Kathleen Weber, who was on earlier, she's a social worker, I want to get you in touch with them if you're dealing with this, can help you understand the risk. The mom would sleep fine at night, so the person was just hanging out all night long on the couch, costing them an extra $60,000 a year. If mom sleeps fine on the couch or sleeps fine in the house, you don't need someone on the couch. Get them to bed, get them settled, leave, come back in the morning before they get up. Now, what happens if mom wanders out one night? Then guess what? The next night you're going to be on the couch.
Right.
So once that happens, then you react. And that was something I learned from Kathleen several years ago. And I just strongly suggest that if you're dealing with something like this, she said it best, families tend to overreact right out of the gate. Talk to someone like her that's been through this. She's been through it personally with her, I believe it was her grandmother. So it's out there, and people are out there to help. You're not out there alone, although I know that if you're going through it, you might feel like you are. And Doug, there's these other financial products that have been introduced in the last few years, and people are gobbling them up. We've been promoting them to our clients, and one is life insurance. We're all going to die. One out of one people are going to die. So here's the thought. You're buying a life insurance policy, and just in case you need it for long-term care, you can also use it for that. So you buy a $500,000 life insurance policy. Again, we're going to die. Someone's going to get the $500,000, so it's not a use it or lose it mentality. If I need access to the $500,000, I can get it in periodic payments over time. It creates an extra pool of money with leveraged dollars, tax-free, to help pay for care. Very good idea for people. That's why some folks say, I'm retired. I have no use for life insurance. Well, maybe you do, and this is one of them. Doug, the insurance industry has also been very creative in these non-committal type products, as I've been calling them lately, that I'm not sure if I want to commit to a program like a life insurance, long-term care, and that's the annuity world.
Absolutely, and these are really beginning to take hold, and people are beginning to get excited about these. They're actually, you know, between long-term care, David, and life insurance, these are actually probably the easiest to acquire.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what it is. is, it's honestly a leveraged annuity. And, you know, one example would be a company that allows you to put $50,000 in. You fill out the application. They have some fairly standard questions you'd expect them to ask. And should you be approved and you get the contract, that $50,000 immediately has coverage of $150,000. So it's
and you still have access to your $50,000.
And you still have access to your $50,000. And the interesting thing here is that there's a lot involved in this, because the first thing is that your money is invested. You get enjoy tax deferral for your money to grow during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Every year that there is a anniversary date and there's growth, then your long-term care value grows by that. So if you put $50,000 in to earn 10%, $5,000, then all of a sudden you have $155,000
right,
for long-term
right.
care coverage. And how the money comes out then is over a six-year period, you get to take this, say, $150,000 divided by six and take that out over a six-year time period, should someone live in the nursing home for that amount of time. So the annuities that provide this leverage up for long-term care, again, what we want people to know, this is the easiest one to get of the three.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty non-committal. There is a surrender charge, like with most contracts, for a certain amount of time. But it really allows that money just to be invested. And guess what? Whereas the life insurance policy, if you never use a long-term care, you have a death benefit. These annuities, if you never lose a long-term care, you have an investment account. It grows like another variable annuity type structure would.
And the only knockout questions that really occur on these leveraged annuities, the two biggies are, do you have a handicap sticker currently?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Two, have you ever been declined for long-term care insurance? So I've actually suggested to people to go ahead and do this first, even if they're going to apply for traditional long-term care,
mm-hmm.
put $100,000 on deposit, get $300,000 long-term care. Then, but I really want a traditional long-term care policy. Fine. Then go apply, because then if you get declined, you've already got the fallback.
Got coverage, yeah.
The other thing on the life insurance one, most of them are only underwriting you for life, not for the long-term care side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a mortality versus morbidity underwriting
type
process.
Yeah.
Most of the carriers that we've seen don't even give you a memory test until you're over 70. So if you're 65, 67, even 69 years old, and you're been told and you've been detecting that, hey, I'm having a hard time with coming up with names. Some people would say it's just the way we all are. But, you know, that I repeat myself over and over, you might consider doing it before you turn 70, because at that point they give you a memory test, which might knock you out. So, Doug, there's just a lot of different ways to skin the cat here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks think, well, it has to be long-term care insurance. It does not. And you certainly, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the idea of going broke and getting on Medicaid, which is what a lot of people think is the solution. It's not. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the problem with relying on Medicaid, not Medicare. People get those two things mixed up. Medicare is what pays for your doctor's visits and some of your hip replacements and things like that. Medicaid is available when you are broke. We're going to be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, a lot of the things we're talking about on the show, you can be found in Today's Guide to Retirement Planning. It's a resource for those 50 and older. It's our book that just came out on Amazon. It's $16.95, and I noticed when I went on Amazon, they've already slashed the price to $16.41, for whatever that means. If you went on my ebook, it's about $3.50 a copy. Doug and I worked for a couple of years to put that together. I'm pretty proud of it, so go check it out. Doug, as we talk about the long-term care epidemic, 10,000 people a day turning 65 in America, and it hits people of all ages. You don't have to be 85 to develop dementia, Alzheimer's, or some other illness that would create a need for long-term care. You could be 65, and it lasts a very, very long time. So, Doug, a lot of people say, okay, here's what my plan is. I'm going to give all my money away to my kids. I'm going to put it in trust. I'm going to do all this crazy stuff. I'm going to get it out of my name.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I'm broke on paper, so I can go on Medicaid.
And that's not necessarily the...
We want a Medicaid avoidance plan,
yes.
Folks, not a Medicaid acceptance plan. Here's why. Medicaid only pays for custodial care, not home health care, which is where the majority of people stay, especially if they have dementia and Alzheimer's. They want to stay. You heard Kathleen Weber talk about it earlier. Routine is important. Why immediately take them? They're going to have a downside if you do that. So don't do that to simply get on Medicaid and think it's going to pay for home health care. It's not. You're going to have to go to the nursing home. I had a conversation with Congressman Young a few weeks ago about this issue, and he said, what do you do if you run out of money and you're still staying at home? Well, you just load up in the car and you head down to the nursing home and you check in. because that's the only place that it pays for this stuff. So it doesn't work like people think, Doug, that it's going to work. Medicaid is not what is cracked up to be.
And it's not the answer. And it's a program, again, that is to simply – it has a very clear defined net, and mm-hmm. that's what it's trying to do. It's really being a net for people who honestly – you know, need the care, but there are absolutely no resources. This is not the way to conduct a financial plan.
And the other thing a lot of folks have heard about, but I can tell you from personal experience, it's not easy to get. Mm-hmm. If you are a veteran that served during wartime, and that includes a lot of different time periods, or you are a spouse of someone that served during wartime, you may be eligible for a little-known veterans benefit that does pay for some long-term care, including in-home. The problem is, folks, because I've filled out applications for people, is they never get back to you. You can fill it out, you can send it in, you can have followed all the rules, and a year and a half goes by, and they just haven't gotten back to you. Then you call, and they say, well, we've never received your application. You send it to them, and they say, oh, I have your application now. And then 3 weeks later, I've never received your application. Doug, that sounds like the good old-fashioned runaround.
The good old-fashioned runaround, the bait and switch or the catch-22, whatever
so,
you want
so
call.
It's not what it's cracked up to be, and you still have to peel down your assets quite a bit. You have to have limited amounts of income. Mm-hmm. Your costs have to exceed that by quite a bit. You might be able to pick up $1,500, $2,000 of money from the VA. But again, I've actually never personally seen someone receive that money. I do know someone who says their mother received it for a few months before she passed away. Yeah. But that's where Todd Young, Congressman Young, did offer up that if anyone's in that situation, because I'm taking him up on this, in this case I'm referring to, if you feel stuck like that and you're getting the runaround, have them open up a inquiry, and you call their office. They'll send you a form, fill it out. It's very easy, and they'll open an inquiry. And they can't promise anything, but they've had some pretty good success by doing that. So, folks, this is tough. I know if you're listening and you've been faced with this issue with a parent or grandparent or a spouse, it's not easy. But you're not out there. You're not alone. There's millions and millions and millions of people just like you.
You know, David, just to help people feel a little bit more comfort, our pastor was preaching this Sunday, and he kind of went through the crowd as a little bit of a dialogue type message, and he said, what's on your mind? And what was interesting is about the second or third hand that was raised was aging parents,
mm-hmm.
and just not knowing how to get all this together. And there are certainly qualified attorneys, certainly in this area. And we always say to people that there are people to contact, people to find resources for this kind of stuff. And so we should also acknowledge that there are great professionals who really can help people
walk
through
this. Yeah, and we can connect
you
with those folks.
Absolutely.
Email us at cfci.us. Give me a little bit of information, and I'll hook you up with the right person. There's a lot of free services that are available, mm-hmm. and free is not cheap. I mean, free is actually really good in this town. So, but you know, just be aware that you're not alone out there. And kind of going back, you know, the myths of Medicare, they're not going to pay for long-term care, period. You're only going to have Medicaid pay for custodial care, not for home care, and it's only there if you're broke. Long-term care insurance, hard to get, kind of expensive, likely to go up in cost. You could buy a life insurance policy. You know you're going to die, one-on-one chance.
Mm-hmm.
The life insurance benefit could also be used for long-term care. Pretty good solution for a lot of people. Plus, it's tax-free, and it's a tax-free death benefit. And then this non-committal idea, I love it.
Yes.
The leveraged annuity. You put $100,000 on deposit. You can invest it. It can grow. You just happen to have another account over to the side. $300,000 of long-term care paid out over 6 years. If you decide you want to change your mind, pull your money out, it's still yours, maybe a little early surrender charges apply.
And we want to go back to one statement before we have to, I think, go to a break. This is a risk, just like market risk, like interest rate risk, like inflation risk. Staying in a nursing home or a healthcare facility is a risk. And what do we say you can do with risk? You can ignore it,
mm-hmm.
you can manage it, or you can transfer it.
That's right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about change. We're going to be changing gears a little bit and how to handle change. You know, Doug calls it discontinuous change. You know, loss of a job, loss of a key employee, forced retirement, loss of a spouse. How do you kind of get your hands around this? We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. You know, next week we'll be talking investments. It will be the investment show. Believe it or not, the first quarter is in the bank. We're going to be moving into the second quarter of the year. First week of April is the investment show. So I already talked to Hot Rod Holloway, and Eric Giesler. They're both geared up and ready to go. A lot of great things to talk about as it relates to the investment world. You know, the market's continuing to be, can be a little volatile, and if you look at some charts, it sure looks like it's set up for a decline. We'll have Hot Rod to come in and give us the glass half full version. And then, of course, the most reliable guy on glass half empty there is, Eric Giesler, to come in and give us the counter argument to that. Doug Hughes is with me in studio, been talking about the long-term care epidemic. Kathleen Weber joined us earlier, a licensed clinical social worker who provides consulting services for families experiencing Alzheimer's and dementia. Did a terrific job. Thank you, Kathleen. And then Doug and I talked about different ways you can pay for care. So right now, Doug, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit. I have had just an influx of people that have had what you refer to as discontinuous change. You know, you kind of expect the perfect outcome when you do planning, and then all of a sudden you get an arrow that comes from this way, or the train derails off the tracks. And I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about how to handle change. You know, a loss of a job, a loss of a key employee, you know, someone's been with you for 30 years and all of a sudden they walk in one day and say, I'm out of here. Forced retirement, you know, a loss of a spouse. You know, I think it's the mindset you take in the beginning will really set the stage. And Doug, I know you've counseled with people, and I always joke that, hey, I'm a financial advisor during the day and I'm a social worker or a counselor at night, because I feel like that's half of our job.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You can feel overwhelmed because when you look at this, it's like a big elephant, and you got to take a bite of the elephant one thing at a time. But anytime that you go through a change, and I'm not going to throw loss of a spouse into this one, but when you talk about loss of a job or loss of key employee or forced retirement, I've always taken the attitude, this will be the best thing that ever happened to me approach. And then that really starts to set your mindset in a new direction. But Dougie,
right,
when you go through discontinuous change, to have something occur like this, taking one step at a time, getting your hands around it, very, very important.
Sure. And you know, anytime your life is interrupted, there's a lot of emotions that begin to happen. And we all know the seven stages of grief and, mm-hmm, you know, all these different feelings that we have. So every one of us have experienced it in one form or another. But to your point, David, knowing where you're going, or at least having an idea about where you're going, is the first thing you need to begin talking to yourself about. You know, one of the great therapists said time, one of the best things you can ever do is learn how to talk to the younger you. And what would you say to your you know, 20-year younger self? And that's the kind of the approach you need to put into your mind is okay, this is a setback, but where am I really going? Mm-hmm. And what have I really been developing myself for? And when you get that back out on the horizon, then you begin to find the different steps or the necessary approaches to get lined right back up to that horizon. And a lot of people don't realize that same image of horizon that's out there, it never really moved. It's just something along the way moved.
You know, I had a couple that lost their jobs not long ago and just overwhelmed. You know, they're on the final stretch of preparing for retirement, just a few years away, lose two outstanding and high-paying jobs, and we're just overwhelmed. And we sat there and I said, let's take this one step at a time. Let's talk about the next 6 months. Where's the next 6 months of your income going to come from? Well, we're going to have some unemployment. You know, we've got some savings in the bank, and we talked that through. And once we were done with that, we said, okay, let's talk about what you're going to be doing during this next 6 months to try to find a new job. So we talked about that, and maybe you want to think about a different type of career. You know, the career you have, you know, it's not needed here in Bloomington. Maybe you change careers or you go out of town and find a job. Then we kind of moved into, you know, phase two and phase three. And what we found out actually for them was that they had enough retirement money that we could actually start accelerating some distributions. They didn't have to go out and make the kind of money they made before. We just need to bridge the gap for insurance, get them to Medicare age and things like that. And just one step at a time. You know, if you lose your spouse, again, don't make any major changes right away, but sit down and talk with someone that's been through this, or a lot of people that can help you. Just kind of put some steps in place, a timeline in place. And Doug, I mean, when you're in business and you lose a key employee, I mean, that can be extremely disruptive too. And
absolutely.
And again, I think if you take this approach, that this is the best thing that ever happened to me approach, then it certainly puts your mindset in the right mindset, puts your mind in the right mindset, and can really be the catapult to making this thing okay.
It also allows you, David, to get back out the wish list and say, okay, what of my wish list was I not getting done that maybe with a new set of eyes I can begin to pursue?
I hope my wife's not listening, because I can see her making a wish list of a new husband right now. I wish this, I wish that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a few other spouses out there that might have.
She could very well be listening, because there's a parent meeting tonight that she's supposed to attend at right at 7, mm-hmm. and I'll probably show up about 7:10 unless I get that beautiful text that says, go ahead and go watch basketball, because it starts at 7 on Thursday night.
Does basketball start at 7?
It starts at 7 or 7:30.
Wow, okay.
I know, NCAA here on right. WGCL, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things. You know,
let's talk about the positive discontinuous change, too. A lot of times people think of discontinuous change and what they should do if things are negative. But, you know, I've had someone who bought the Hoosier Millionaire ticket at the mm-hmm. gas station, went onto the show, and won $1 million.
You have?
I have. What do you do with that?
My question is, are they broke?
The answer to that question, David, is yes. Multi-level marketing schemes, uplines, rentals that couldn't fail, restaurants, you name it. So some people have a big inflow of money one time or a big positive thing, and they don't know how to handle it. So let's get back to that horizon. When you have a goal and a plan in place, and you can see that in front of you, whether it looks like you can take a shortcut to it, or it looks like you've been delayed, you've got to have that plan and that goal in mind. I know that sounds kind of but it's the truth.
I had a young couple that listens to the show, and I thought everyone had to be over 50 to listen to the program, but I guess actually people in their 30s do occasionally. And I called her on the phone, and she was asking me some questions about, you know, house payoffs and this and that, and she was pregnant and first child on the way. And I said, will you tell me what's in your belly to do? And she told me exactly what she needed to do. And what I think, at the end of the day, people know deep down mm-hmm. inside exactly what they should do, how they should do it, but they just need someone else to affirm that and say,
exactly.
That's exactly what you need to do. And she was appreciative of that. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show. We've been talking earlier about the long-term care epidemic and how to pay for it. Again, if you want to listen to it, wait just a little while, and you can go on WGCLradio.com. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock is the replay. But if you're listening to this show, in about 30 minutes, you've got problems because NCAA basketball is going to be on. Who doesn't want to listen to that? For sure. And don't forget to go to Amazon and check out today's Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for those over 50. Doug Hughes, David Hayes wrote this book. We want you to check it out. Hope you all have a great week. Next week is the Investment Show. We'll talk to you then. Goodbye. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Guest opinions on this show do not necessarily represent those of the radio station, David Hayes, or CFCI. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC registered investment advisor, 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana.